In Dirt City, the hobo king sunbathes at the mission. In Dirt City, the leafy concrete trampled by new plastics and the animal in the building.
Rolly Pemberton is a poet.
In Dirt City.
In fact, he was poet laureate of his hometown, Edmonton, Alberta, for a couple of years.
In Dirt City, the clay is every day.
That meant he was expected to write three poems a year about events in a town that's sometimes nicknamed Dirt City.
With gusto, with chutzpah, with some guts. In Dirt City, you can see yourself.
But outside of Edmonton, Rolly Pemberton is better known under a different name, Cadence Weapon, the hip-hop artist.
Nobody fresher, fly than a single-engine Cessna. With the propellers, I'm stellar, more electric than Tesla. I'm effervescent, don't second-guess it, you step and fetch it. My special lessons, invest in lessons, you get the message. I keep it dirty, they're cleaner than disinfecting. Absurdly listen to words that get easily misdirected. Your incestuous scene is simply incessant. The scene that celebrates itself, look at you kiss yourself. Well,
in poetry and song, Rolly Pemberton finds inspiration, tough and otherwise, in his Edmonton roots. In his new album, his third, Hope in Dirt City. Rolly Pemberton joins us now from her studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the city of Edmonton is demonstrably proud of you, but Hope in Dirt City doesn't strike me as the kind of thing that the Chamber of Commerce might play.
I'm from the city with the malls and the detailed directories. All my friends are dropouts and retail celebrities. The kid in the back, yeah, he works at AEA, but did you know that every Sunday he goes to AEA?
So the first AA is a reference to American Apparel?
Yes.
And the second AA is?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
What do you want people to understand about Edmonton?
Well, what the Edmonton I'm talking about is young Edmonton. It's my Edmonton. I'm trying to translate my experiences and relate the way people my age feel living in Edmonton, you know? And sometimes there's a dissonant feel. You know, we're famous for having a mall. It's hard to reconcile that as an artist.
You mean the mall and being an artist?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, having to work at the record store in the mall is not as inspirational as you might think.
Well, but a lot of artists have worked what they would consider for their times boring jobs.
Oh, certainly. I used to work in the shipping department of a high-end clothing retailer in Canada. And during that time, when I wasn't throwing boxes around and tagging fur coats, I used to do a lot of thinking and a lot of writing, mostly about the class issues that I was experiencing being the bottom rung of a clothing store.
What do you think rap opens up in people?
Rap is, to me, physical response music. I've always seen it as being black punk music, you know? And I feel like when that physical response is reached, you're open to the ideas that are said in the words, you know? Like, I feel like once you get through the first barrier of rap, which is just the sound of it and the hypeness of it and the immediate rhythmic structure of it, then comes the time where you can actually really focus on the words. I want people to be able to listen to my album and, you know, you hear it on the radio or something, you're just like, okay, that sounds cool or whatever. But then you listen to it on your own and other things are unveiled to you, different connections between words, you know, different styles of music. I want it to have depth.
So the beat opens the door, and then once opens the mind and heart, and then you decide what goes in there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, although when I'm making songs, I have this weird habit of I like to write a list of titles. Uh-huh. Like I plan out all of the song titles for my songs before I make any of the music or write any of the lyrics, usually. They're almost like themes for each song. And then I walk around with them for a while, and then, like, I get, you know, idea here and there. It's like a collage style of making songs, I guess.
I live in bad condition, but I got my conditioning. I know my number's almost up. It's over, but I'm still broken up.
Well, as you already know, every good
can we talk a bit about your father?
Sure.
Your father created a radio show called The Black Experience and Sound.
With your cruise master and general overseer, me, and my name is Teddy.
He's credited with bringing hip-hop to Edmonton. What kind of inspiration has your father been?
Well, huge. I mean, the music he would play on his radio show totally inspired the work that I make now. His personality, I mean, you can tell from listening to him talk. He's famous for the way he talks.
Check it, E-Town. It's been a rock down.
He's a legend, you know. He was the first person to bring rap, you know, and funk music really to radio in most of Western Canada, you know. He was always the coolest person in the room. He always was the center of attention pretty much everywhere he went.
What's it like to have a father who's always the center of attention in the room?
Well, it was weird when I was younger because I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, but the ones I did have were my friends to hang out with my dad. You know, like I'd have kids coming over in my house because I would get to listen to rap at my house. Like my dad was just playing it, you know, and people, they were really envious. They thought I had just the coolest dad, you know. It was like so different, especially in Edmonton, you know.
But did you have the coolest dad?
I think I had one of the coolest dads, you know. I mean, Leonard Cohen's kid is probably... pretty stoked.
There seem to be a lot of different kind of sounds on this album. Almost kind of early hip-hop beats, a suggestion of disco sometimes, saxophones, all from times that kind of predate you, or at least your consciousness. You were born in 1986, right?
Well, yeah, that's the music that was around the house. I mean, my dad being the DJ, you know. The saxophone on the album is actually my uncle playing saxophone, my uncle Brett Miles. He was one of the first people who influenced me to perform live, you know. I joined his funk band as a youngster. I was like 15 years old. And he would sneak me into clubs in Edmonton, and I was like the honorary member of his band. Definitely that melange of influences. I feel like that's expressed in the music I make, and I've always felt like genre is this, it shouldn't really be a problem, you know. There shouldn't be these separations between different kinds of music. Unless it's Mozart or something, it's pop music to me.
My girl's like Lizzie Mercier to Chloe. Come in your house with a mic like Louis Theroux. My bandmate's a capo when he uses a capo. Two A-bo, sabo.
Do you think there are youngsters who hear you who will feel a creative tug because of that and say, look, this is something I'd like to try?
I mean, I hope so. I have experienced a few instances, though, especially in Edmonton. When I was poet laureate, I did a tour of schools, of elementary schools. I'd read poetry, and I would talk about my life experience, and people would come up to me. Kids would come up to me and show me things they'd written because they'd found out, yeah, it's possible to be a creative person in Edmonton and be young, you know?
Like they were the only ones who were thinking in those terms.
Yeah, because, you know, I felt like that when I was younger, you know? I feel like I want to make music that inspires people to do creative, strange, different things.
Mr. Pemberton, awfully nice talking to you. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for your time.
Rolly Pemberton, Cadence Weapon, his new album, Hope in Dirt City. Speaking from New York, but he always speaks from the heart about Edmonton.
My papa told me that you gotta bet on the right one, or else just spend your life having to fight one. Keep your stable, and don't listen to the fables. You know what it is.
And you can hear more from Hope in Dirt City at nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.